Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. We are grateful that we are worshiping the Lord together this morning in His presence. If you have just joining us this week, we've been going through the last few weeks a new series on simplicity. How do we have less in our lives? And so the series is titled just that, Less. Embracing this kind of universal truth that less is more, that somehow when we are intentional about reducing the distractions in our life, there is more room for us to focus on the things that are truly important. And this has been a fun series for me to have the opportunity to practice what I preach, right? And so during the first week, we talked about having too many things. I mentioned that I was then thrown into the gauntlet of late-night Walmart, right? Last Sunday, I talked about having less busyness in our lives. Guess what I did last Sunday? It was the busiest day of the year for me. I had friends in from town to have lunch. We went to a family get-together for Labor Day. We were running all over the place. And so this week, I'm preaching about less stress. So I'm prepared, right? I'm buckling in, I'm ready, and sure enough, the Lord gave me opportunities. Yesterday, we had a leadership retreat. Glenn mentioned it at the beginning of the service, and we were here from 8 to 11, and in my mind, you know, I had it clearly planned out how things were going to work, and it started with me getting out of the house later than I wanted to, right? So I was supposed to get out of the house at 7. I didn't get out till 7:30. I then run to Hawkins because I had the really important job of getting the donuts for the meeting. And I find out their power was out the night before. They had no cream sticks. I was tempted to cancel the meeting then. But I persevered. I got some other donuts. They had some scraps lying around. I said, whatever you have, I'll take it, right? I get to the church. I realize I forgot the keys. I can't get inside. I wake up Mel. I go to her house. I get the keys. I come back. Dick is standing inside the church. Did you even try the door? It's unlocked already. Perfect, perfect. I had a presentation I stayed up late working on my iPad. I plugged the iPad in. There is no battery. I didn't bring my cord to charge it. I'm flipping tables at this point, right? You've heard of Murphy's Law, right? If it can go wrong, it will. And I was having one of those days. I know we've all had one of those days. As a side note, I am looking forward to the day. I'm making it my goal to have a law named after me. Murphy's Law. I mean, maybe something better than that. You know, it would be cool to have a Bebout's Law. So I'm working on that. Stephen Cole, he's the executive director of the Brethren Church. He has a law named after himself. Have you ever heard of Cole's Law? Do you know what Cole's Law is? It's thinly sliced cabbage. It's a side dish. You take it with you. Ha-cha-ya! Okay. You're not allowed to boo a pastor. All right. Stress. It seems like an odd inclusion when we're talking about simplicity, but I'm trying to follow Paul's instruction of taking every thought captive, right? And so much of the stress we're experiencing in our day-to-day life is maybe something that we can control. Now, an important disclaimer before we start. The church does not have the best track record of being sensitive to people who have true diagnosable mental illness. Sometimes we gloss over it. Sometimes we over-spiritualize it. And so I want to make it known before we begin that if you have a problem, right, if you have a chemical deficiency in your brain, this is not a sermon for you. I'll just tell you, this is not a sermon for you to feel bad about not being spiritual enough, that you're experiencing anxiety or depression, right? This is a sermon for those of us who are allowing stress to come into our lives through our own, like, allowance, right? You cannot control your brain chemistry, right? But what I also want to say before we get it started is that if you are a person who struggles with this, right, if you have problems with your brain chemistry, man, I hope this place can be a safe place for you, right, that this would be a community that would surround you and support you. So that's my disclaimer. Before we begin, we're going to be in Psalm 46 today, just one passage, the entirety of Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles together, we're going to spend some time digging into the Word of God, allowing Him to speak to us about how to deal with the stressors of our lives. So here's the Word of the Lord for God's people this morning, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place, where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we pray that you would enlighten our hearts, that you would give us wisdom and understanding that we might know you more. We pray that you would speak to your people through your word, that we would meditate, we would reflect on your perfect word that gives life and it speaks truth. We pray this morning, Lord, that in your presence, all of the anxiety and fear and stress that we might experience on a day-to-day basis would fall away. And in their place, we would see you, the risen God of the universe, our creator and sustainer, who is our fortress, our strong place, our refuge amidst all the chaos that surrounds us. Be with us as we focus on you this morning. And God's people said, amen. The other day, my oldest woke up early from a nap. Uh-oh. And I knew we were in for an afternoon together when I was changing her diaper and singing a tune, Justin Timberlake's new hit. And it's one that we listen to in the kitchen and the kids have a dance party while I'm making them lunch. And I knew I was in for it because as I was singing the song, Rosie was disagreeing with everything I was asserting, right? So I'm changing her. I've got this feeling inside my bones. And she says, no, you do not have a feeling. It goes electric, baby, when I... It is not electric. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. I put her down. She scurries off. Immediately, she starts doing something she knows she's not supposed to do. I tell her not to. She disobeys me. I pick her up. I sit her on my lap. Now she's melting. She's freaking out. And in her course, she flails and she smacks me. She hits me. And I asked her incredulously, did you just hit me? And she goes, no, I was just patting you. She's two. This is problems. And I asked her the question that I always ask her, who's in charge right now? And the answer is, Daddy's in charge. Her response was, Rosie's not in charge, which is not what I want to hear, right? Who's in charge? Daddy's in charge. Okay, I'm going to make some lunch because obviously you need to eat, right? So I'm in there, I'm in the kitchen, I'm putting everything. There's bacon in the recipe because I love my children. And I throw it in and it gets me. The bacon grease gets me. And I say, ow. And Rosie comes running in. What happened? I said, "I the bacon grease, I just got burnt." And she said, Dad, don't touch that. It's hot. So now my eye's twitching, right? This child. And I do the thing that is the thing that I know is an indicator that I'm experiencing stress. I take a cleansing breath. You ever do that? Like, I know I'm stressed when every 5 minutes I go, and I find myself doing that. Taking a breath, reminding myself that it is illegal to punt a toddler through a window, right? All throughout the Psalms, there's this word, Selah. And there's a lot of different kind of interpretations about what it might mean. Some people maybe think it's a musical indication for the director of the choir. But the large consensus is that in some way it's indicating you ought to pause. You ought to reflect on what was just said. You ought to take a breath, a cleansing breath, to reflect on the truths, to receive them, and to see what God might speak to you. We're going to take three cleansing breaths today, as there are three pauses in Psalm 46 for us to digest what the Lord might say to us in the midst of stressful situations, right? A cleansing breath. So, verses 1 through 3. Let's read it again. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. Cleansing breath. We're not quite sure what's going on in the life of the psalmist who penned these words, but we know that it was serious, right? Whatever was happening, it was a disaster on a cosmic scale. And if you understand ancient Hebrew cosmology, you know that these words of mountains falling, of seas raging, are not just metaphor, but they're actually very specific metaphor that indicates the undoing of creation. Remember, we talked about in our With series almost a year ago that in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, the sea represented chaos. And Genesis 1:2, when God hovers over the waters of creation, it's like everything is chaotic, and then God speaks. He steps in. He creates boundaries. He tells the ocean, you can only come to here, and then you must stop. But whenever the ocean swallows, it's that, like, creation is actually coming undone. This is, in fact, the story of Noah's Ark, that the boundary lines that kept away the sea are now being dissolved, and once again, humanity is thrown into turmoil. We're thrown into chaos. We're thrown into the unknown. And so it's no small thing when the mountains fall into the ocean. The Hebrew writer is giving some vivid imagery when everything goes wrong. When the oceans roar and foam. I have a picture of the way the ancient Hebrews saw the world. I usually show this when we're going through Genesis with undergrads when I'm teaching Exploring the Bible. This is what the ancient Hebrew cosmology looked like. This is the way they understood the earth, right? That there's this great deep below, that there's the waters above, and there's the ocean around. And the mountains in Hebrew cosmology are literally pillars that hold the waters at bay. The mountains, the pillars, keep chaos away. So what happens when the mountains fall into the heart of the sea? What happens when the pillars come crumbling down and the world is suddenly different? Where were you 15 years ago today when two pillars fell down in our country and we didn't know what was going to happen, right? I was a junior in high school. And I remember coming home on September 11th and both of my parents stunned watching TV and sitting down and not knowing what was going to happen. Do you remember that feeling? We didn't know. What does this mean? Death, chaos. It seemed like the pillars of creation had fallen. What are we going to do? And right in the midst of it, take a breath. Take a breath. A cleansing breath is a breath you breathe in deeply through your nose. You hold it for a second or two. You breathe out through your mouth. Let's practice together. A cleansing breath. The first breath is one to acknowledge, I am stressed, right? It's when your defiant two-year-old has irked you, right? It's when things at work aren't working. It's when family situations begin to unravel. It's when sickness comes into your life for someone you love. It's when the pillars of creation come crumbling down. You take a breath. You recognize that we're stressed. And then the author goes on. There's a river. We know the context of this from a sermon a few weeks ago. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. The psalmist helps us identify that there are two kinds of stress, the kind that we can control and the kind we can't, right? Those fit into two neat categories, right? Creation and natural disasters fall squarely into things we cannot control. War and violence is something humanity can control. We can choose not to engage in killing one another. So there are two kinds of stress. But in fact, the psalmist wants to make clear that the results of them are the same, right? Look at verses 2 and 3 and then verses 6. In verses 2, the waters are roaring. And in verse 6, the nations are in an uproar. In verse 2, the mountains fall. In verse 6, kingdoms fall. Right? So whether it's something we can control or something we can't, the stress is the same. The effects are the same. It feels like the world is falling apart around us. I don't need to tell you the physical symptoms of stress because you've probably experienced them. Maybe this morning as you're trying to come to church, right? Your heart rate increases. You start to breathe quicker. Your body lets loose the chemical of adrenaline. You start a fight or flight kind of mentality. Interestingly enough, stress causes our digestive system and our reproductive system to shut down temporarily so that we can spend more energy reacting to the situations around us. Your body tries to convert as much energy as possible very quickly. So this is actually why stress makes us hungry, because your body is sending you signals that we need as much energy as we can right now because there's something happening that we need to respond to, right? So all of these things are happening to us physiologically, What do we do with it? For years and years, the conventional wisdom was we have to figure out a way to reduce our stress, right? Has your doctor told you this recently? You need to reduce your stress. You need to go on a vacation. You need to start doing some yoga, whatever you need to do, right? But actually, we're starting to change. Science is actually starting to suggest something else. And I want to bring something to your attention to you. Just that first picture, Gary. Do you know what this is? Do you know that it's toxic? My 6-year-old self feels so justified. I just recently learned that broccoli is toxic. My wife is trying to kill me and my children. She's insisting that I'm eating this all the time. Every time I go to the grocery, we're getting a head of broccoli. It's toxic. So why is it among the healthiest food you can consume? Well, it's actually because it's just a little bit toxic. And that's actually one of the things that makes it so good for you. Because it's just a little toxic enough for your body to start building some abilities to fight back on these kinds of things. Broccoli increases the strength of your immune system. It makes you healthier because in some ways it just annoys you enough for your body to get serious about defending itself, okay? So there's this psychologist, her name's Dr. Kelly McGonigal, and she has actually been doing this amazing research about stress over the last several years. And this is what they found. They did a bunch of survey with thousands of people, and they all indicated their stress levels, right? And then they waited 10 or 20 years for everybody to die, right? And then they went back and looked at all the data to see how stress affected the longevity of our life. And what they found was amazing. They found that actually, if people indicated they have high levels of stress all the time, that had no bearing whatsoever on the longevity of their life. But this is what they also found. If people had high levels of stress and also believed that stress could kill you, they had a 40% increased chance of dying early. Is that amazing? It's not stress that kills you. It's the belief that stress kills you that kills you. Okay? Believing that stress is bad and then experiencing stress is bad. But the people who said, yeah, I have high levels of stress, but it just doesn't bother me, they actually had no increased rate of dying early. And the secret was, they, instead of using the age-old practice of trying to reduce their stress, they started trying to use their stress to help them. So as your blood starts pumping quicker, they didn't think, oh my gosh, I'm stressing out. They started saying, hey, this is good. I need to react to this situation in front of me, and increased blood flow is helpful to do that, right? So simply by believing that the stress they were experiencing could help them achieve the goal that was in front of them, they reduced the negative impacts that stress has on their body. Is that amazing? It's amazing. When I was running in high school cross country, I had an amazing coach, and he would usually stand right at the halfway point of the race. And I remember every time I ran past him at the halfway point of the race, he always said the same thing to me, which was, Nate, take a cleansing breath. Because as you're running, sometimes your breathing is more shallow, you're laboring, and what your body needs in that moment is more oxygen, right? You need to fill your lungs, you need to expand your diaphragm, you need to let it in and use it. So the God of Jacob is our fortress, says the psalmist. Even though things are falling apart all around us, the psalmist indicates that God will help us at the break of day. You're not in this alone. Don't let stress paralyze you. Don't let the things going around you cause you to retreat from the world. Recognize in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the illness, in the midst of the dysfunction, God is with you. Selah, right? If the first breath is a breath in which we say, I'm stressed, The second breath is one in which we say, I can use this stress, right? God is with us. Okay, pause. Sometimes when I'm doing image searches for things, I stumble upon the strangest photos. And so I was looking for a picture of broccoli, and this is one of the images that came up. This has nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. I was so put off by this picture, I had to share it with you this morning. What is happening here? They're like loving each other and eating broccoli. Like, is this some kind of aphrodisiac that I don't know about? Okay, moving on. That picture stressed me out for 5 minutes. I had to share it with you. Okay. What's happening? All right. Verses 8 through 11. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So often when we get to verse 10, we think it's this quiet reflection, sitting next to maybe some still water, little birds chirping in the background. It's this quaint, beautiful picture. Be still. But the context is there's war, there's chaos, there's fighting. And in the Hebrew, it's much more of an urgent command. Like when I walk into my living room and my daughter is sitting on my son's head, stop, cease, desist, be still, right? This is a command, an urgent declaration that God wants all of our fighting and animosity and violence to cease. To cease. I'd like to do a chemistry experiment with us this morning. Are you excited? Did you bring your lab goggles? Okay, let's do this morning. This is a real thing. I'm going to have you stand up, and I'm going to have you hug somebody for 5 seconds. All right? So if you don't know this person, this is the time to introduce yourself. Let's go. Everybody together. Standing up. A nice, big... I want you to hold it for 5 seconds. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. You can sit back down. That was nice, wasn't it? I saw some spouses getting a little frisky. I didn't love that, but okay. What can you do? There are chemicals released in our brain when we experience stress. One of them is adrenaline. That's the thing that makes our heart rate increase. That's the thing that makes us feel tense. The adrenaline is the thing that makes us react to fight or flight. There's another chemical that's released when you experience stress. It's called oxytocin. It's called the cuddle hormone. And you release it when you come into physical contact with somebody, right? So all of you should have just had some dose of oxytocin, right? Some of you should have experienced this sense of connectedness, right? And so here's the interesting thing that we're finding out. When you experience stress, God has hardwired you to long for community, right? Oxytocin is this chemical that happens when we touch somebody. Nursing mothers experience this, right? This release of connectedness. And God has hardwired you in the midst of stress to want that. Your body starts releasing oxytocin, and you want to talk to somebody. You want to touch somebody. You want to be in community with somebody. Isn't it interesting that the Lord has hardwired you in the midst of hardship to desire community, right? And I know this has happened to you before, hasn't it? You have experienced this in your life. I know you have. Where you got some news that stressed you out. Maybe it's that the company was downsizing, right? Maybe it's that somebody you love had a terrible diagnosis. Maybe there was an accident, and the first thing that you thought of was a person. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it was a parent. And the next time you saw them, whether it was a minute later or days later, you melted into their arms, didn't you? You needed that touch. And when you embraced them for the first time since you'd heard that news, for the first time, you felt like everything might be okay. Verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. He's with us. He's given us this community to cling to even as creation itself falls apart. Why is there such an urgent call for peace? Why is he breaking spears and shattering bows? Because we need to stop fighting with one another and we need to start leaning on one another. The first breath is a breath to recognize I am stressed. The second breath is a breath to say I can use this stress. The third breath is a breath to say I can use this stress to push me into the community that God has given me. Right? Selah. A cleansing breath. I am stressed. A cleansing breath. I can use this stress. A cleansing breath. I can use this stress to push me into the community that God has provided for me. 15 years ago, a terrorist attacked the Twin Towers in New York City, and there was a phrase that began to be a national mantra for us. We still say it on September 11th. Never forget. Never forget. The lives that were lost and the tragedies that ensued and the bravery that we saw on that day. And yet, never forget has led us into more violence, right? Never forget has been a war cry, and sometimes. I want to reclaim never forget. Never forget that Christ desired peace with us so much that he was crucified, right? Never forget that although he was laid in the grave, that the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. And never forget, no matter what comes your way, whatever stressors you're experiencing, whether they are small or they are cosmic in scope, that the Lord our God is with us. That the God of Jacob is our fortress. I want us to start this spiritual practice of breathing when troubles come our way. Let's do this week together. You're going to experience stress this week. Hopefully I'm not the cause of it, okay? When you do, why don't you take 3 cleansing breaths? The first one to acknowledge that you are stressed, the second one to use the stress, and the third one to use the stress to push you into the community that God has provided for you. And a reminder that no matter what happens tomorrow, God will be with us. He will rescue us at the break of day. Selah. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for your provision, for your protection, and for your presence. So many things happen to us in our daily lives that cause us to doubt, to question, to fear. May you, in your spirit, remind us that we don't have to face these challenges alone, that we have a God who loves us, that we should be still, cease our frenetic attempts to have control, and instead to lean into the community that you've blessed us with. We love you, Jesus. With every breath we pray, your will be done. It's in the name of Christ, God's people said. Amen. Let's stand together and worship his name.
Your breath in our lungs.
receive this benediction this morning. May every breath you take this week remind you that God is as near as your very next breath. May He comfort you in your distress. May He calm your nervous and anxious mind. And may He reveal Himself to be a God that protects and provides through the people that He brings around you this week. May they be His hands and His feet to bring healing. We pray that this week we would be connected to You, Jesus, in a way that fills us up with confidence that even as the world around us changes, we know that You are our fortress and that the God of Jacob is with us. We pray this in the strong name of Christ, and God's people said, amen. Go in peace.